Welcome to the Starfound Podcast, an actual play podcast of the tabletop role-playing game Starfinder by the lovely people at Paizo. Now, some of you may know Starfinder and its cousin D&D and may know exactly what I'm talking about. And some of you may be totally in the dark. Don't worry, I'm here to fill you in. A tabletop role-playing game mixes the boundaries between long-form improvisation and board games, and what this means is that a group of friends sit around a table and collaboratively tell a story, the outcome of which is decided by rolls on a 20-sided die that's modified by the character's abilities and skills. Now, several of these friends are the players, and they have made characters that are the heroes of the story. Meanwhile, one friend takes on the role of the Game Master, who is sort of the arbiter of the game. They play, but they are also directing the action, you might say. So as the game plays out, if a player wants their character to shoot a laser blaster to hit the target of their bounty in the knee, there are mechanics for that. Or if the heroes need to get into a factory that's producing an army of war robots, they might choose to disguise themselves, or they might try to talk their way in, or they might have some other way of doing it, and we talk it out together. We are recording this second season of Starfound live on twitch.tv/HearthsingerGames every Thursday at 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. So go give us a follow right now. The first season is available on iTunes, Spotify, and SoundCloud now, as well as on our YouTube page, so go get caught up. Give us follows, likes, and where you can, write positive or constructive comments. It really helps to get our podcast into the hands of more listeners. New episodes will be released every Wednesday evening, but if you just can't wait that long, head over to patreon.com/starfoundpod and consider pledging at least $5 to get access to the video a whole week earlier, as well as some other sweet patron-only rewards, including private streams and polls that affect the story of the podcast. We have something new happening on patreon.com/starfoundpod. For our $10 and up crewman patrons, we have started creating patron characters with them that live and exist inside the world, and once a month, they get to choose an action that their characters do, and then we resolve it with a dice roll at the end of the month. Now, I'm not entirely certain how this is going to play out, because it's based on what our patrons decide to do with their newfound power, but I'm hoping that the characters that they create and the actions that they take will feature in to the story of Starfound. This is just another way for you, as our listener, to interact with the story and the world that we are creating. Now let's meet some of these mooks, our mostly fearless Starfinders.
I'm Anne Richmond, and I play Amaruk Yuka, Vlaka Solarian, First Claw of Clan Yuka, and Emotional Support Captain for the crew of the Kingfisher.
I'm Helena Anderson, and I play Jaleskia, a very clumsy Kasathan mystic zoologist, and I believe in the pursuit of knowledge and friendship. Friendship is good, too.
Hi, my name is Parker Wallace, and I play Castor 9, android mechanic and pilot of the Kingfisher. Happy to be of service.
Hi, I'm Dexter Warren, and I play Jabberwocky, a Skittermander Technomancer. I'm a magical boy tech whiz with a love of stories and shiny.
Now sit back, strap in, or at least hold on to something. Let's get Starfound. Last time on Starfound, the crew had to put aside a lot of their internal squabbles. That kind of minimizes what they were going through. They were having very relevant problems with each other and finding out some unfortunate secrets, or starting to cusp on finding out unfortunate secrets, when they finally were brought up to meet with this god or angel or entity inside of the gigantic, let's call it a firefly jar, in the middle of the cavern that the giants live in. After conferring with Amy, the shaman, Amy tasked them with something terrifying. Amy tasked them with killing a god. And so all around you, the rest of the giants are preparing for war. The cavern is moving much, much more quickly than it usually does, meaning the people inside of it are moving much more quickly. You can see stores being brought out. You can see food being put away, weapons are being distributed, there's like things being battened down and carefully put in safe places, right? What are you guys up to at this very moment that everything's kind of sprung into action?
I think I'm still just sort of communing with this new weapon that I have now in my possession.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess like sitting with, I don't know what the rest of the crew wants to do. What do you want to do?
The weapon itself, I'm pretty sure I described it, right? But it's a bone, kind of like short sword, sort of, that's, curved like a fang, right? But in the center of it, it has this old, old, but incredibly complex technological core that works up most of the blade and seems to like feed into the handle as well.
Right. Do I have any, this is Amaruk and Anne both asking you, does this thing have any statistics that I should know about?
I did see you asking that in chat earlier.
Yeah.
No.
Okay. So how, okay. I don't know how you want me to use it then, Miles.
I'm sure that's exactly what Amaruk's wondering.
Okay.
Great.
Right. So Amaruk is like looking at this and then she's literally never used. She goes up to Jabby. That's who she approaches with this. And she says, I'm a little scared. I've never used anything but my Solarian weapon. I've never used anything else.
Well, I guess start with the basics. How does it feel in your hand?
Oh, well, it's a sword. I know how to use a sword. I've used swords before and spears and stuff. Right.
Well, so, I know with doing magic and other things, it's kind of an intuitive process. Of course, there's, you know, thinking about what you want to have happen. So I guess this is a magical, potentially God-killing weapon. There's definitely going to be some mystical element going for it. So I guess just, you're a star. Imagine your starlight going into the sword. Just, it's weird, you know, just go with me. Just feel the balance.
Okay, sure. Mm-hmm. Okay, great. I'm a star. I'm up there in the sky. I'm looking down at all my friends who definitely like me completely. Mm-hmm. It's very hard to focus on this.
I can't do it if you're watching.
Yeah.
I mean, I could turn around if you need.
Yeah, just close your eyes.
Yeah,
close your eyes, she says to no one but Jabby. Because she always feels like it's a performance somehow.
Jabby covers his eyes.
Yeah, she just kind of grips into the pommel of this sword, and lays the flat of her hand / toe beans, her vlaka toe beans on the like amber part of it that looks like their friend Spark's egg, and tries to converse, commune.
Ooh.
Extend?
Extend your reach to the stars above?
Yeah.
I'm trying to figure out how to voice this communication rules-wise.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I want you, depending on what kind of information you want to get and what you want to communicate, to choose a skill.
Okay.
And tell me what you're going
to
roll.
She wants to know... I think I want to roll a mysticism check.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
To try to understand what this thing's greater purpose is.
Mm.
Like how it, a weapon is a weapon, but she kind of doubts that just hitting something with this is going to be enough. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Here I go. Here I go. Here I go.
Here she goes. Everybody, she's going.
Yeah. See how I
go.
See how she goes. 22.
Okay.
Not bad.
22, yeah.
Not bad. What? I don't think that your question that you're hoping to have answered is particularly answered. But upon putting the palm of your paw against the gem, shall we call it, at the base, mm-hmm. at the pommel of this sword, this weapon, this tool, you feel a great emptiness.
She blinks open and says, I think he's lonely without Spark.
Spark, you think that's their brother?
Well, they said they had a twin.
They did, didn't they?
Well, slightly problematic if time is of the essence, which I do feel that it is. We probably can't go and get Spark out of her incubator.
Yeah, I agree. Time is of the essence. I think we should go to War Post Haste, I guess. Here we go.
Okay, I'll figure it out later. Do you remember his name? What was his name? She just starts wrecking her memory, and I'll figure that out while we continue. Yeah.
It's somewhere in my notes.
Yeah, look into my entire ass notebook and find it.
I'm remembering.
Exactly. And
don't stop for me.
Exactly. So Amaruk has done stuff. What have the rest of you been up to?
Oh, Speck is Spark's brother.
Speck.
Speck and Spark.
Speck and Spark.
Okay, Spark.
Okay.
I guess, given the time we have, Jabby would like to find just like a brief moment to by himself and just look at all of his birthmarks, the symbols of Allura 2, and just kind of pulse magic through each one individually and then all of them. And say, so I know you're more of, a hands-off type, not like a helicopter parent kind of thing, but just wanted to give you a heads up. We're going to be fighting a god, I guess. If there's anything that could make clearer if I'm doing the right thing with any of this. I know I'm supposed to find the hidden truth myself, but I wouldn't mind a clue right now, just in case this is the last time we speak. Go magic.
Go magic. Great. You're used to prayers being met by silence. Mm-hmm. And this one indeed is as well, but the hidden truth reveals itself, and you're hoping and praying that the sign will come, that the clue will arise, that whatever you need to know will be revealed. That's where the faith comes in.
Nice.
I think Jabby knows that.
Yeah, you do.
Great. Caster.
So, Caster doesn't really meditate. he repairs, like he goes basically into a trance, and so now he's operating on his expert rig, in his palm and inside his arm, just kind of phasing out of reality, I guess, in his mind. And that's his way of communing with Wayden, I think, because the path is pretty dark. I could use a light or some direction, I guess.
You are Wayden, baby. Yeah. You start thinking about it, and you're like in the data streams, and like going back and forth, and like traveling. Right? Because you can't travel right now, so you're going places in data, right? And it occurs to you in a sudden, like, burst of brain light in the way that these things do, right? That, like, oh, right. The divine is in me. Right? I don't need to talk to a god, and I don't need help. And the journey is all that there is. Right or wrong. Yeah. So, to be a little crass about it, fuck it.
So, I think at that time, the bulb on his expert rig starts to blink and glow.
Mm-hmm.
And there appears a hologram of a polygonal starship, like N64 graphics. And I think that is how... his expert rig's artificial personality comes into fruition.
Fantastic. Yeah, no, absolutely. I love that. and it like sparks up in front of you personally, right? But also next to you as you're like coursing through data streams, which are colored millions and millions of different colors, this phantasmic rainbow of truth in the machine just washing over you. And it says, ha! Yeah! Damn right! Fuck it!
hello? This isn't a party for two here. I thought I was in my own brain.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm your computer.
You're my computer?
Yeah.
I get my own computer?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's in your body, right?
I mean, true.
And like, some would say you're a computer, but...
Well, that seems to be a reductionist argument.
I agree.
You know.
I know, I'm right there with you, but...
I'm literally a construct, who knows?
Hey. So this is a little awkward, but I guess I've forgotten the name of your AI.
Wayfinder.
I'm Wayfinder. I just was born, which I think is a pretty interesting fact. What's the thing about you and an interesting fact?
Well, I'm an avatar of Wayden. I think that's the most interesting thing about me.
That's pretty interesting. I was hoping for, like, I don't like apples, haha, but, like, whoa, all right, great, just go right into it.
Okay. Well, I actually don't really like apples now that I think about it.
I'm not a big fan of fruit.
They get too mushy, yeah. I think, for me.
Yeah, mushy. Mushy. You gotta have them crisp. I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm literally just surfing on your own consciousness and memories right now. So
that makes sense.
What do you need? Do you need anything? Because like I'm here for you.
Huh. Well, a boost of morale would do good.
You're great. You're awesome. You're a wonderful guy. I know I already met you, but I can tell. You know, it's one of those things. One of those things where two perfect little points of data coursing through an infinite stream of data, and hey. That means we're small, but that doesn't matter because we're small together.
You're a kooky little guy, aren't you?
Kooky. Let me add that to my data bank. What is this kooky?
Oh, bouncing off the wall, sort of, you know, crazy, loco.
What is this loco? I have so much to learn!
I love him so much. Thank you, Miles.
You're so welcome. All right. Anyone else? I think I've shouted his wayfinder enough. Yeah.
You guys kind of notice Kia has kind of disappeared, but you keep hearing.
So we know she's there.
So Link, she's just, like,
is that you?
Around the corner.
Spinning in circles. Chopping faces.
Yeah, basically. But she is trying to teach herself how to do a really impressive kip up, because that is her combat maneuver of the day. General's tactics. We love a warmonger. And so she's teaching herself how to kip up, and she eventually gets it and keeps congratulating herself. Just like under her breath after she's joined the group, like, yeah, fuck yeah, killed it. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Amaruk, knock me over. Knock me over.
Sorry. I was focusing on my sword. I'll be right back, she says to Speck, and then puts the sword on her belt and says, okay, are you sure?
Just do it. Just, like, I mean, like, lightly. Please don't hurt me. But, like, just knock me over.
I would never. Watch out! And then she spins around the opposite way and tries to, like, what's that thing when you, like, bar arm somebody?
Oh, clothesline.
Yeah, you clothesline. Like, she's like, I'll do it in a second, then turns around and just clotheslines her right across the shoulder.
Yeah! That was good. That was a good one. And she kips up. That's her feet of the day.
Whoa.
I imagine that she's announcing that every time.
Yeah, this is my feet of the day. I did some research on some ancient generals. How big. And this was one of the things that the general Googlebosh used to do. He was native to the diaspora. So that's
cool.
Yeah. Yeah, kip-ups.
Every day I do 15 kip-ups. It keeps the body strong, and you know you end up vertical at the end. It's great.
Three sets of applause.
She's going to ask, that's amazing. Where? How did you learn to do that so fast?
I researched and wanted it, so I took it.
That's amazing.
Yes, it is.
I don't think I could do that. You're really cool. Well, I don't think I quite have the smarts to read that fast, that quickly.
You can do it if you put your mind to it.
I'm more of a visual learner.
The look in Kia's eye right now is this manic desperation.
Her eyes slightly twitches as she said, and I took it.
Yeah. Okay. So she says, so about that, is Spark on the Kingfisher?
No, Spark is in my quarters back on.
Oh.
My bright claw. Yeah, no, she's to the left of my closet.
Yeah, closet adjacent.
Mm-hmm. Okay. She's like, okay, one second. Excuse me, is your name Speck? She says to her sword, like an idiot.
Look at this idiot, I love her.
Hello, I'm friends with your sister Spark. And if you would help us, maybe we could make you guys together again. She said you ran away, and I guess, you know, you have to live your life, but she missed you.
Make a sense motive check for me, Amaruk.
Okay, I will.
So good.
You know what? Actually, perception. I take it back.
That's unfortunate. That's really unfortunate. Are you sure it's not sense motive?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Oh, okay. It was almost a two. I got excited.
22.
That's a profession check, not perception.
Oh, well, I can't read. And whoopsie here doodles. I come. Here I come.
Praying for that too. Yes!
You resistance! I rolled rolled a two. It's a seven total. Bullshit.
That's funny.
Everyone kind of looks at you as just silence rules the air for a second, and everyone's pretty aware that that didn't do anything, but it makes you feel a lot better.
Okay. Yeah. She goes, I know what I'm doing. And then she looks at you guys and you can see she doesn't know what she's doing. And she says, okay, wait, let's just think about this for a second. Spark was a fragment of Wayden, right?
Right.
Correct.
Yeah.
Caster, you're a fragment of Wayden.
Yeah. Well, avatar of Wayden. Or fragment
an avatar.
Of
Wayden. Was her brother a fragment of Wayden too?
I think
he was.
I think so. I mean, Wayden chooses avatars of all genders and ancestries and species. It's sort of his idea of oneness, you know?
And what happened before Spark gave herself to... What were we doing? We were trying to fight that demon.
Mm-hmm. You're trying to save Caster from possession with that really mean demon. We went to the temple.
Right.
The aerial silks were fascinating.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
Helped with my designs. Mm-hmm. I actually didn't go in, so I don't really know what was going on in there. That would be a y'all thing.
Right. But then when we went to the second one on that moon, right, with the biker mm-hmm. gang, and right. we got the bones, did Spark use whatever her power was and then become the egg to enter the temple? Or was it something else? I feel like it was something else. I just want to know how we got here, generally speaking. Hold on.
Definitely a good time for reflection.
Knowledge.
Help!
Well, I have
can
it in
I
here.
Call
it's
a
just...
friend?
Hold on. When was our show where we did the
Streamathon?
When was the Streamathon? What month was that? What year is it?
Bark fuses with the stone, becomes an egg. Why did I do bullet point?
thank you, Shiznit, for that. Very helpful.
There it is. Great.
Were the bears before or after?
After.
That?
After.
They were after that.
Yeah, it's in my
never change shit. Never change.
It's in my other notebook. Bemoans Helena.
Euralia was after that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The swarm was after that.
I thought the swarm was before.
Swarm
that.
Was before that.
Okay, so it must be here. It must be in these.
These three pages.
Fire
fish.
Before or after the earthquake?
Kia looks for the Thieves Guild.
Mm-hmm.
We fought the werewolf. Was that before the storm?
That was after.
We fought
that
a was... werewolf?
There's yeah. no way.
Wait, that was before.
No
that was before.
After.
That was before.
I was like, there's yeah. no way.
That was on Bug Planet.
Okay. And Euralia must have been before it.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Which means the bear was... Here we go. Stay Queer Spectacular. Great. Okay.
Yes.
Great. Okay.
Done it.
We're getting there, guys. Sorry. Okay. They discover this is about Caster that they're an avatar. They find Urza and a curse. Yada yada. Biker gang. The bottom floor is a wrecked alchemist shop. Oh, Hospex, the mage, mm-hmm. right? Recognizes yeah. Spark, who believes the slug creature can help us get the avatar out of Spark, which is what she wanted. He right. remembers Urza, tells us that we need a vessel. Mm-hmm. The stone from Tobolo. Tobolo
mm-hmm.
was Mark's character. Yep. Okay.
Right.
Two avatars need to open the vault together. So the two of you did that, right? Mm-hmm. We found the lock, a dark hole with a circular door. Mm-hmm. Help Spark use the stone
mm-hmm.
and she becomes Starlight and it becomes an egg.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Cool.
Okay. Huh. So this was all about getting, she became an egg because she got the avatar out of herself. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. like she was starting over, like a phoenix.
So then did her brother also get the avatar out of himself? It seemed like from what she said, sorry, back into character. It seemed like from what she said, he wanted to be an avatar of Wayden and to wander.
Then right. Maybe this isn't him.
Could be another one.
Or okay, someone forced it out of him.
But what if because, you know, Spark didn't want to be a Wayden avatar, so then Spark ended up, you know, an egg. But then maybe because Speck wanted to be, Speck was all like, you know, give me that Wayden power and became a sword. Because reasons.
Yeah, I feel like this is a conversation for another time. Because at this point, like, we can't go and get Spark. So we might as well just, like, go.
No, I mean, I'm not suggesting that we do. I'm trying to be careful. We've unlocked a lot of things by accident. Well, one big thing, but it's resulted in all of this. And I'm trying to be responsible, Kia. I want to know not just that something is a weapon, but why it was made, what it was made to do.
It's to kill a god, which is what we gotta go do.
Right.
While that's happening, could I do a computer's check on the technological bits of that sword?
Yeah, sure.
Ooh, yeah.
That's a 23. That's a 23.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, 24. I rolled a 3.
Yeah, you aren't able to figure out anything about it.
Yeah, mentally, I feel like I have popcorn in my throat. So
she looks at the sword, and then she just looks at Castor and she says, do you think it was meant for you?
I could give it the old college try.
She like carefully turns the hilt towards them.
And Castor takes the sword very gently. Sword.
Doing great, buddy.
Thanks.
Try like when you were casting magic before. Try that feeling, but with the sword.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. And so Castor closes his eyes and concentrates and feels the data flow through his fingertips and circulate through his body, and hopefully it seeps into the sword.
There's no computer in the sword.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So the data doesn't have anywhere to go into.
Great.
But when you put your hands on the sword, you too get the feeling of emptiness.
Ooh, that is one scary sword, I'll tell you that.
Go ahead, sorry.
I was just going to say, and not for the reasons swords are usually scary.
I wonder, I mean, let's go, right? Let's see if we need to get moving. We should try to get some health infusions, is that a thing? Health potions, hello,
yeah.
Serums.
Totally, you guys could requisition some health serums. Yeah.
Yeah. Can we get at least one each? We're gonna go kill a god.
Yeah.
How can we? Do we have to pay for it? What do you want?
No, I'll just give you four health.
Oh, that's
health
really
potions.
Nice.
So welcome.
Ooh, a serum.
Get serumed.
I love a serum. So that's weird. What I just said. So. So she says, well, I wonder if it's to suck whatever power it is out of the god, to turn the god into a fragment of itself so that it can be killed.
Ooh, well, that's very scary to think about.
So ripping the godhood out and putting it into the sword?
Right. Ooh. I don't know. I'm just spitballing here. You know I love broad sweeping assumptions, but that one seems pretty good.
Yeah.
It's the best we got.
You good kid.
Yeah. That'd be an interesting looking topic. Around, just like not in the conversation.
And as Kia looks around, you see the gigantic reptilian creatures swinging down, flying down and landing and having harnesses put on their backs and armor draped across their shoulders and their heads. Yeah, Kia?
I would like to inspect and meet one, please.
Amazing.
I'm just going to, like, kind of sidestep away from the planning because I hate it. And I'm going to run
Not even planning. It's just assumption time.
Just, like, just talking. Like,
I'm going to step away from the desire to understand our world better. And
because we're not going to know until we kill it. And so she, like, sidesteps away towards one of these beasties. Is there like a person I could talk to about them? See a man about a flying dinosaur?
You almost get stepped on by one of the handlers.
Hey, excuse me. Oh, excuse me. She like points to the dinosaur and then points to herself and then does like this kind of like cowboy impersonation kind of thing. Like, yeah, woohoo! Like kind of like she's riding it, what she would imagine it would be like.
Great.
Oh boy.
It's like a kid.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
The giant looks down at you, raises one gigantic eyebrow, looks over at the creature, looks down at it, which looks up at him and goes. And he reaches down and picks you up just like by the torso, right? You're like a little like a large Barbie doll for him to pick up.
Hey, hey, hey.
Puts you on the saddle, which kind of sways uncomfortably underneath your feet.
Oh, exciting. She like leans forward on the saddle and goes, what's your name?
The long head turns back towards you. And this snout that is kind of, it's very, very pointed. And the front of it has this kind of beak that has a sharp edge on it. That's clearly been artificially sharpened as well, right? And it looks at you through one large slitted eyeball and blinks. And then its nose comes up right next to you and hot, humid air rushes over you as the nostrils that are about the size of your femur, right, in diameter, blow air all over you as it begins to sniff you a couple times before a long forked tongue with three forks, let's say a trorked tongue, whips out of the mouth and kind of like wraps around you and tries to pull you into the mouth gently, like you're a treat.
Yum! Don't eat me. Excuse me. She like pokes the tongue a little bit.
It like lets go and comes back and tries the other side of you.
Nope.
A giant hand. Exactly. You try and swat it away and a giant hand comes down and bap! And the head kind of recedes and goes back away from you.
Kia, like, looks up at the giant to be like, is this okay? Can have, please?
Wait, what do you mean, can have, please?
I want to fly him. Can we keep him, Dad?
All right. I'm leaving you there for a moment. Back to Clue Corner. Any other questions, thoughts, concerns?
Not really, I suppose. Mm-hmm. You know, we just need to kind of go for it at this point. Like, on some level, Kia is right that we won't know. I just think, you know, sometimes when we rush headlong into things, it's not ended up the best. But sometimes when we planned, it's also not ended up the best. So who are we kidding? Maybe we just suck at everything. And she just has a lot of self-doubt. And she's just looking at the sword and looking at Castor. And she's like, maybe you should keep it. Maybe, I don't know. I don't know. I don't even know how to use this thing.
Amy's foot lands next to you. And her hand comes down, offering for all of you to stand on it.
Hop on.
Okay.
Great.
I guess it's time.
You hop onto Amy's massive, massive hand, which carries you unsteadily through the field, stretching out below you and over towards the creature. We need a name for these flying lizard creatures.
What do they look like?
Tridentaline.
Yes.
Tridentaline.
That sounds like a
a dental product? Yeah.
A dental product.
Well, it's like they have teeth. A trident tongue.
Yeah.
Totally.
I like it.
Sure. Sure.
Totally.
Ask your doctor if Tridentaline is right for you.
Exactly.
Fantastic.
Hire me.
To the Tridentaline. And she looks at Kia a little bit confused and has a small conversation with the handler before she like nudges you forward and puts all of you on the front of the saddle before mounting up on top of it and gives out this long war cry followed by picking a large horn made of metal, this kind of box squarey horn that twists around these angular directions, puts it to her lips and blows this sound that is deep and reverberant but also like rattles inside of it like an ancient metal tree being shook and torn down. And there's a returning cry and several other horn calls from across the massive underground garden, and the wings begin to beat, and you feel yourself lifted upwards as wind rushes backwards through the poppy field, kicking petals up into the air, and you fly up into the air, followed by more Tridentalines mounted on the back of them with several giants, and beneath you, you can see a mess of giants, a horde of them rushing towards the exit as you fly up and out, whipping back and forth through tight, tight tunnels, flying through caverns of crystal and over massive underground lakes until eventually you splash out into the sun, passing through some thin veil of sand that they had somehow suspended over this cavern. And you erupt into the sky. Actions, questions, concerns? I don't want to press on too far without you.
Kia is very excited and screaming with delight.
Noted. Management has noted your request.
Yeah. Jabby's thinking on his entire life up to now. As this... I mean, he just looking at the through line of his concerns with fighting that even portion of an archdevil, and now we're about to go fight a god to try and kill it. He is mentally shaken.
Fantastic. And I feel that. Can I ask how Jabby is mentally shaken?
What does that mean? The thought that keeps running through his head is, if we fail here, will everything I've done to now have been worth it? The whole everything. Because what I've been asked to do and why I'm here are... I didn't sign up to fight a god. And... I'm doing that. And there's a part of me that feels like it's worth it. But I also still vividly remember falling unconscious fighting that archdevil and having worms digging into me. And I think is my village worth it, or are these three worth it? And he's weighing that.
Amaruk is like kind of nestled into this awkward seating situation with the rest of them. She is kind of just keeping her head, like holding onto the saddle and keeping her head down. This is definitely a vision of her that I don't think you guys have really seen. I would not call her looking broken, but she looks very unconfident. And she slowly reaches out with her mind towards some sort of vision of a sun, the constant sun. And she realizes how long they've been underground, and the only suns they've really seen have been these, I don't want to call them artificial suns, but these miniature stars. And so as they, have they gone above ground yet, Miles?
Yeah, you are above ground right now.
Yeah. So as they crest, she kind of climbs up the shoulder of Amy.
Mm-hmm.
And holding on sort of spreads her wings in the sun and is kind of surfing on Amy's shoulder. Like it's a glider behind a boat. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like a paraglider. And she's kind of holding on and just letting herself be warmed and comforted by the sun as her eyes go from fear to determination, as close as she can manage to that.
Anyone else want a moment?
I think Caster, riding on the back of a winged reptilian isn't really much of a, it's just like one step down from a starship, you know? So he seems very calm, riding and holding onto the saddle. But seeing Amaruk, I think Caster just puts a hand on her shoulder. I think that's all he needs to do.
Right.
Oh wait, she's on top of the giant, isn't she?
I mean, we'll say she comes down eventually, right? Because okay, I don't need to be up there the entire time.
Yeah.
It'll be a bad hair day for me, you know? She eventually comes down and she sort of huffs down next to you a little breathlessly, taking those deep breaths of the fresh air, not being outside of the cavern. And she kind of pauses as your hand lands on her and her eyes move up to meet yours. And she does that thing where she just locks eyes with you and then grabs your hand on her shoulder.
Right. And then hear the sound. Actually, a kind of a familiar sound, unfortunately. The sound of the giant creature that you found near the hyperbrine. And it's ahead of you somewhere. And you peer around. Kia is, of course, the first to see it, because Kia has, as soon as you were up above ground, I imagine, was looking for them first and foremost. And you can see up ahead the monolith that you pass by at a million miles an hour, which is right on the eastern edge of the sea of hyperbrine. And far away, you can see this creature galloping through the empty sands of this desert towards the monolith. And you see below you that out of the crack in the ground next to the monolith, a mess of these giants are rushing out and towards it.
as the tribe just races across the desert in their direction. The pack hounds, these gigantic giant, large lion-like dogs break away from the rest of them, rushing forward as several of the dragons peel off and magical energies begin to crackle around, staves whipping in the air, summoning clouds from nowhere as lightning begins to gather around this thing. And lightning stabs down, fire is thrown from the back of these creatures, and this thing continues to run. It folds another piece of it up, exposing these two eyes that you saw earlier. And it howls, raking down with its massive, massive arms across the front line of this force, rushing at it, just sending bodies flying and cascading through the air, but not stopping all of them as some of them leap up, grabbing onto the purchase of its rotting flesh, stabbing into it with spears and beginning to clamber up it. Grappling hooks are thrown, hooking onto its exposed pieces, finding purchase in the crystals poking out of its flesh, and it howls as it continues to move forward towards the monolith.
So in this moment, as all of this begins happening, Amaruk, like the fog of war begins to set in, and her ability, like not abilities, just her ability to hunt, to fight, mm-hmm. begins like coalescing in that way that it has to for a soldier.
Mm-hmm.
And she, in this moment of locking eyes, like she's still looking at Castor, and then her eyes go wide and she goes, "Oh shit, the kingfisher, we have to tell them what's happening." And she hammers into your chest the long range comms. She was like, tell them what you want them to do.
All right. So he takes it and calls in, warns the kingfisher. I would say, I can't think of like a good scientific like height measurement of like.
Don't worry about it.
Golden retrievers.
Yeah,
golden
retrievers. Five golden retrievers high at least.
I imagine he says something like, make her hover 10,000 feet. At least. Make sure she's safe.
Absolutely. Do you know where you're heading?
To kill a god, apparently. But geographically, we are heading toward... Where are we heading toward?
You don't know.
She's
yeah.
Yeah, she's, she says we don't... She like kind of screams over the... sounds of cacophony around them, yeah. And she goes, "Look for the storm."
And Amy's,
"We're in the storm."
Amy's hand comes down in front of all of you, shielding you from a massive piece of crystal that skips off the side of the saddle next to you. Right? Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. We just lost somebody.
Oh,
give us a second, and then we'll redescribe.
About him.
Where'd you go?
Hello.
Yay. Okay.
My computer did a thing. Apologies.
No, that's quite okay, all right. Okay. Let's reset cameras and do
reset th- cameras.
Okay. Do this again.
I can stay.
Yeah, you
on,
can.
Right? Yeah.
That did not work. Not quite. Jabby, turn off your camera. Yeah, Dexter, you turn off your camera.
Like all the way off?
Yeah. Or wait. I'm so sorry. I'm looking at the wrong thing. Excuse me.
I was like, "Well, what?"
Yeah, actually I need this to go in a different order now. Yeah, this is going to be really interesting. Jabby, turn off your camera.
Give us a second, guys. Yeah.
Welcome to Starfound behind the scenes, everybody.
Camera off?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll turn mine off too, just in case. No, don't.
Yeah,
okay,
Parker.
Kia.
Now Kia.
Hello.
Now Jabby. Right. We've done it.
We did it.
Congratulations.
Huzzah.
All right. So Class. Amy's hand comes down, and you, blocking a large piece of crystal that skips off of the... I'm all good, y'all. Trust me. We're all good. Yeah, all right, I gotta go back now. Amy's hand comes down, blocking a large piece of crystal that skips off of the saddle next to you, and you hear Amy say, Jabby, not your fight.
Okay, well, we're not going to go against this one. Our fight's elsewhere.
I mean, I'm kind of okay with that.
And you continue flying off westwards, away. Mark says, I've picked you up. It seems like you're on a direct intercept course for Sky.
That seems right. That's probably where we're going, I think.
Fantastic. Jabby, make me a perception check.
Oh boy, I'm good at perception checks. That's what he says when it's an 8 total.
8 total, that's what you got?
Yeah, 8 total.
All right, great. Fantastic. You all continue heading west. I was wrong about east. You continue heading west over the cluster of Hyperbrine beneath you and onwards. You can see the storm still coalescing behind you, raining on the empty, empty desert, and silence sets in, except for the occasional crack of thunder, until finally even that passes over the horizon, and you're just surrounded by sea. You continue flying, gliding for several more hours. There's an escort of a couple of other flying beasts with you, right? Until you pass from the Hyperbrine and over the crystal forests down below until finally you reach the desert in which Sky is settled in the middle of, right as the sun is beginning to set. What did we call them?
Tridentaline.
Tridentaline. Great. The several tridentalines make an arcing descent down into the crater of Sky, the geode of Sky, right? And eventually land on several building roofs, letting you off down onto the ground. Amy says, we have business elsewhere, but deep, deep below here is where the third tribe lives. Hopefully, if you can kill the god, then you can save us. Hopefully, we'll be able to hold them off long enough for you.
Okay.
Caster salutes.
Yeah. Jabby with all three right arms makes the saluting gesture with fist to the chest and nods.
Great. Actions.
She says, to her, even though she knows she won't necessarily understand, but signs it at the same time in the Vlachan sign language. She says, hope believed in us, and so we will believe too.
Right. Amy kind of like looks confused and then nods with a piece of understanding. And then there's a thump that rattles gently everything around. And another thump, thump, until they come quickly, a pace, quickly, one after the other, until something reaches over the top of the crater, blocking out the little bit of moonlight that is gracing your meeting, and the Sneasel, all agri, pokes its head in, peering downwards at all of you. and the several giants call out, crying out amongst each other before they take off, and Amy screams, "Go!" And they lift off, slinging spells of fire and electricity up at this creature, with which makes this sound like oh god. It's the sound of crystals being shattered, but like that stretched out and elongated. Right? Actions, questions, concerns.
Yeah, I tell them she said go, so yeah. We gotta go. And so, I hop off the roof.
Yeah, she reaches out for Jabby's hand, takes it, and then swings him on top of her shoulders because she knows that she's going to be able to move faster than his short legs will carry him. And then begins running towards the gates of sky that they left so long ago.
Great.
And she goes, "The tunnels! We have to get back to the tunnels!
What if we get my friends, the dogs? Maybe they'll help!"
"I'm not sure the dogs will still be there, but we can try!"
Great.
"I'm just saying..."
Yeah, it's good. It's good.
Fantastic. It's all good. So you jump down several, like, from roof to roof, slowly making your way down to the street, which is abandoned, with one odd cleaning car making its way down the side, stirring up long forgotten dust. And you dash forwards, trying to figure your way to a main street until finally you reach a large, large thoroughfare that would have been probably one of the centers of commerce. And you dash forward, heading towards a statue that looks like it's on the near side of like the little lake that leads over to the palace, right? And you rush into what looks like a square, and the first thing that hits you is the smell. The iron smell of blood. And it's followed by the scent of death and the burning smell of ozone. And you look around for a little bit as soon as this happens, trying to figure out where that's coming from as you move through this area, and you recognize a piece of debris that doesn't seem like it belongs there, that has the Kleintech logo on the side. And as you approach the fountain, you realize that it's filled with limbs and body parts and the remains of what looks like the entire Kleintech. All of them. All of Elocatia's
people. Keep moving.
Yeah. We have to keep going.
Amaruk, come on.
Right. You're right.
And you dash forward, swallowing the bile that tries to work its way out of your mouth, and dash away.
Bombing and running. Bomb running.
It's not funny, but with all the limbs, it's... it's a little, there's just a lot going on in that moment. Yeah.
Like he's running, like all limbs are going on the ground now, just like as we go.
Okay, I'm sorry.
I mean, it's a funny image. Rough time, but funny image.
I thought you were on my shoulder.
I thought you landed. Yeah.
Oh, no, you're definitely on the ground if you're vom running.
I don't want to vom on you.
Yeah, no, that's
I do not
want to
vom on you. It's like,
making?
I feel it. Yeah, I feel it. I'm just like, I'm just going to hop off real quick. Just
vomiting, right?
Vomiting, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Great. Cool. You reach the edge of this moat, kind of, that's around sky. Sky is kind of, is a little bit of a river city, strange enough, because a lot of water has pooled down here, and it smells deeply metallic, and you remember them saying that it wasn't safe to to drink at all, right? But it looks beautiful. It reflects light in kind of a greenish hue. And even above you, as the spells are flung and crystals and stones fall from the ceiling, the lights flash off the water in this beautiful display of fireworks. And sitting next to the, tied up on one of the metal piers is a fairy, it looks like. You dash inside. Can I get a mechanics check?
Oh, heck yeah. I can give you an engineering check.
Beep, beep. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. Yeah, go for it. If you want to roll first, I'll roll second.
That's a total of 23.
Nice.
Great. So that's plus two.
Mm-hmm. We'll take that aid.
Kyo.
Yes.
Natural one.
You've got to stop saying that like that. So I just want you to know that you caster rolled a natural one, but got a 24.
Well, what? What? It's a new day. Dawn, it's a new day.
Starfell!
So you come in, you shout to Jabby, try starting it! And you rush around the corner, right? And, like, go to the engine, right? And pull it up. And Jabby pulls the ignition. Smoke kicks up in your face. And you cough before reaching in and, like, grabbing a thing and turning it. Says, trying it again! Jabby tries to start it again. There's an explosion. You slam the thing, certain it won't work, and kick it, and it starts, and you rush off across the water, hopping off on the far side and running towards the palace as quick as you can. You burst through the large doors, as you're like making how do you guys go? I'm taking agency away from you a little bit too much. How are you guys doing this?
Well, we have to go down.
Yeah,
we know the way, right? Like, we know the way down to where those dogs were, and I agree. She says, Kia, the way to your friends. Let's find them.
Yeah, the friends are in the palace. Yeah. Are in the palace is the last place that we knew they were.
Yeah. Right. So Kia's going to be like, Kia's here. It's Jaleskia, your quote, queen, unquote, no offense. Okay, maybe quieter, but sure. Oh, whoops. It's fine.
Why quieter? She's trying to call someone.
Oh, in her mind, we were like trying to make a stealthy approach. It just like in general, while we had a giant distraction. So.
no stealth.
No, we cannot do stealth.
No, I was running.
We scream. No, we run. No. We scream.
I mean, that's what I know now. I'm not mad about it. It's just great. A new circumstance.
Fantastic. So as you shout out, there's like you are met only with silence. And then you notice that there are three furry little halves of heads poking around the side of one of the walls.
I'm going to approach them quickly and say, hello, would you like to kill a god today? It'll be fun.
And like a series of snorts goes off between all of them. And then they start to bark and more of them come out of the various different corners and peer down at you.
Oh no. I've had a realization.
What, they're all gonna die?
No, she looks down, or no, she looks across at Caster and she says, why are they still alive if everybody from Clientech is dead? Are they the third tribe?
Well, maybe they're just better at hiding than Clientech was.
I fucked up. I didn't make the right story, guys. They should have been the third tribe.
I'm sorry.
I just love that so much.
Sorry, the broad everyone. Sweeping assumptions. Strike again.
Strike again.
Oh God, but it's I'm so sorry, funny. Miles. They are shadow. They are darkness when they fall
they
asleep. Fantastic. That's so funny. The chieftain like, approaches slowly towards you, right? And, like, kind of peers around at you. And you realize that they're all kind of slowly surrounding you, boxing you in. None of them has said a word. And then several of them pounce! But they don't pounce at you. They all jump onto each of your shadows and start, like, biting the ground.
Oh, no. We're fine. Those shadows are just ours. They're not...
No, it's the thing that's happening again.
I was like, are you sure? And she turns around to look at their shadows.
Yeah.
Not 100% sure. Our shadows are always normal.
Okay. Well. We will trust you. What about killing a god?
Whoa, wait. Were our shadows okay?
Yeah. We bit them.
Oh, okay, great.
Oh, okay, cool. Great.
Good
thank
job.
You.
Usually.
Yeah, thank you for that. Yeah.
I don't. Are they okay? I'm.
This is such a.
I feel great.
We're not.
I'm honestly a little worried because I would love for you to ride into battle with us to claim the honor that you were born to bear.
That's cool. Yeah, that's cool. That's great. But we were leaving because of the fireworks show outside and the gigantic snake thing with the crystals, and we have a bunch of toilet seats that we're gonna bring back home and sell for lots of money. Battle's cool too, I guess.
Where were you going to run?
Home.
Into the mines?
No. Out. Away.
Oh, okay. Because if you're going deep into the mines, then I would be careful, because that's where we're heading, because we're about to go kill a god.
The shadow?
Yeah. So stay out of the mines. I'm offering a chance for you to fight with us, but I understand that sometimes family comes first.
They, like, this wide black eyeballs kind of track around the room as they try to figure out what all of this means. They, like, start to distribute, like, go completely lazy-eyed as they think really hard. Yeah,
kind of steps forward next to Kia, and she says, Kia is right. Your Queen Kia is right. It's your choice, but... You know, we're not from here either. But whatever this hunger is, it was born here, and it will travel. It will consume everything if we don't fight here. So a toilet seat today is kind of worthless tomorrow, you know?
It thinks very loudly and very breathily. Its breaths being very constrained by something in its nose. God knows what. Before it looks up at you, all of you, and says, okay, we will help you. We will not fight because it's a holy day. A holy day for... us, but you should totally fight. Yeah, and we'll help you. You're looking for the shadow, right?
Yes.
Well, we know where the shadows come from, the smaller ones.
Perfect.
Point us there.
Okay.
We'll do the rest.
Okay. We can take you there. We all go together, though.
Yeah.
And then you get your toilet seats and you get out.
Yes, but first, walkies. And they.
God.
Go home, Miles. You're drunk.
I'm not.
You're drunk with power.
That little bit.
Drunk,
that.
Miles. You're home.
We have Miles at home.
Oh my god.
Have drunk Miles dream home. Go, boy. Boy.
Oh my god.
All right.
I can't.
They lead you. They take you to the back of the palace through the large doors. past the console that you accessed the maps from earlier, which, by the way, have been decoded and taken care of and have been deposited into your computers, right? Your various data pads and Caster's hand boy.
Hand boy! Are we gonna call him hand boy, though? Are we really gonna call him that?
Probably not.
Maybe not.
Probably
maybe
not. Not.
Amaruk is gonna ask Caster, do you want to look for her? We might know more specifically where to go if we can feel where she is, where Euralia is.
Yeah, I can give it a shot. All right, here we go. Gotta concentrate. And he holds his hands parallel, and in between them, a blue hologram version of Sky emerges. And he concentrates on Euralia.
Huh. Okay, dice.
What?
You see the little marker of her, right? Mm-hmm. On the surface of the planet, right? Very, very close to where the you left all of the giants, right? And then it blinks out and instantly appears right here in Sky,
yeah.
Up above you. And then it blinks out and it instantly appears a couple thousand miles west and blinks out and reappears a couple thousand miles northeast of that. And it keeps blinking out and back. And it stays in places at different amounts of time as it travels back and forth between all these different places.
Well, I might be able to assemble a graph of some kind, a chart maybe of where she is, find the...
We don't have triangulating... graph time.
Yeah.
I know. Time. That was a joke. There's
it was
no...
a good one, she... yeah.
Thank you. I appreciate that. But she's not in any definite space. She's just warping.
Right. Well, let's give her something firm to grasp onto, right? And she begins, you know, forging forward through the caves.
Great.
With the doggos.
You descend with the dogs just like all around you, panting. It's prancing a little bit. They're very, very excited for walkies. They're also like a little bit nervous. So occasionally one of them at the front will like stop and start shivering. And the rest of them will like kind of nudge into it or bark at it or bite it and then like pick up the pace and come with the rest of them. The chief, however, is always at the front and always strides with certainty and snorts regularly. And as you descend, you realize that while the other areas had been filled with great diversity of minerals, right? This passage has been mined heavily, right? At first, it looks like it's dwarf mining, and then it looks like, well, it's still dwarf mining, but you start to see that they found a lot of tenebrous crystals, and they started mining tenebrous crystal after tenebrous crystal after tenebrous crystal, bringing them up and out towards the surface over and over and over again. But the crystals kept, it's like the vein just kept getting more and more dense and more deep, which is not how crystals should form and not how like most things should go, but they kept delving deeper and deeper and deeper until finally the chieftain stops, lifts a paw, and all the dogs come up short, some of them bumping into each other, barking. And he says, this is as far as we go. That way for all of you. Good luck.
I hear shadows don't like light. I'm B-O-U, brave Queen Kia.
Oh, no, you're fine. You're fine. Don't worry about it, Chief. It's all in a day's work, right?
And he turns and all of them begin to waddle off, back up, and away. And the four of you turn back and face the darkness ahead.
Well, I guess it's into the unknown now.
Amaruk glances at, like, the sword, right, that she had handed to Castor, and then looks down at her own hands and says, nothing. She just and summons her hard light fist weapon lightsaber, don't at me, and begins walking into the darkness.
You start going forward, and Jabby looks at each one of you in turn. And for whoever wants to have perception for it, you can. It's a low DC, you can hear it. And he says, I'm glad I met you all. Regardless of the circumstances. And he follows Amaruk.
And that's our break, everybody.
Heck yeah.
Okay.
Thank you, everyone. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with more of this madness. I hope you're enjoying it. I know I am. I hope it's not just me.
And but if it is, like, it's our game. It's our game. Thank God.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, great. I'm excited.
This is fine.
I'm excited.
It's fine.
I'm really excited. All right.
I'm not. I'm scared.
See y'all in a flash.
Thank you so much for listening to Starfound. Once again, please leave us a like or a follow or whatever it is, and a positive review wherever you are listening. And please head over to patreon.com/starfoundpod in order to pledge to help support us and get some added benefits and a mess of extra Starfound content. And remember, you can tip in order to help or hinder the players at streamlabs.com/hearthsingergames. Thank you again for listening and for your support, and we'll be back next week. See you soon, Starfam. This podcast uses trademarks and or copyrights owned by Paizo Incorporated, which are used under Paizo's community use policy. We are expressly prohibited from charging you to use or access this content. This podcast is not published, endorsed, or specifically approved by Paizo Incorporated. For more information about Paizo's community use policy, please visit paizo.com/community use. For more information about Paizo Incorporated and Paizo products, please visit paizo.com.
Music by Murder Sauce.